lids, we can let down our hair, the moon is high, and we are lunatics now. It's deep, and it's safe, harbor! It's Dark 30. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and now is the time you should turn off the radio if you don't want to potentially hear some outrageous material, because this is when we kick back, down a shot of hard liquor, and try to have some fun. And I'm your creepy guide across the river.
Abandon all hope.
Daddy gonna give you something to drink, though. In the studio with producer Hardwood Forrest Connor and investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop. How are things going at Wright's Coin Shop, Shelley?
Things are going really well.
Are the prices high or low right now?
Prices are low right now. It's a good time to buy.
Buy in time. I was having a conversation with a friend just last night about this strange phenomenon of people waiting until the prices are high to buy.
Right. Or they'll try and ride something to where it's at the lowest point.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you probably would have done better if you'd, you know, just done it a little differently, because everybody increases their spreads so nobody gets caught with their pants down and loses money.
And that does happen sometimes at Wright's Coin Shop. People are caught with their pants down. Is that right?
They're caught with their pants down, but they better not be caught with their pants down.
So, this is the time to go in there and to turn your money into real money.
Yes.
Something that has intrinsic value.
Yes.
That's what all smart people do.
Yes.
And that's because, we talked about this before, you're not going to get a notice like, oh, tomorrow the dollar's not going to be worth much.
Right.
What are you waiting for? You need to do it now while you can still do it.
And nobody ever comes in and says, hey, what do you put back? What do you do? You're in this business.
Mm-hmm.
If they did, they'd make a lot of money.
Buy gold, silver, and bullets.
I agree with that.
Yes.
Yeah. The price of bullets has gone up astronomically. A friend of mine bought a bunch of bullets last year because of the 2012 scare, and he said those bullets have now gone up 500% in value. 500%. So he's rich off of his bullet stock now.
Yes.
So that's amazing. So anything extra special happening lately at Wright's?
Well, actually, the Mint has ceased production of the 2013 Silver Eagles for the next 3 weeks. So we have a few left. If anybody needs any, now's the time while the price is low.
Why did they cease production?
They ran out of blanks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
This has happened already this year. It happens every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
It happened, I believe it was the first 3 weeks of this year.
So why should people buy American coins versus Canadian or from some other place?
You have a higher resale value when mm-hmm. you sell it back. And if you have a huge amount, you don't have to worry about reporting requirements that you have to turn in
mm-hmm.
with your tax return.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people, hopefully, will be getting a tax refund, and it's a good time to take that tax refund into a Wright's Coin Shop.
Definitely.
So how do people find Wright's Coin Shop?
Come see me at 1271 Sweeten Creek Road in Asheville,
mm-hmm.
or call me up at 828-298-5402.
Now, once again, folks, write this number down. You can call up Shelley, and she'll personally give you some guidance, regardless of what your budget may be. 828-298-5402, 828-298-5402. You can also go to WrightsCoinShop.com. That's WRIGHTS, WrightsCoinShop.com. Nice little map there. You can email them. You'll have everything you need. And, you know, it's funny, Shelley, I was thinking about you, and I saw this story about a man who went to pawn a wedding ring. Now, if somebody comes into your place and they have, say, a gold ring, will you take that?
No, we don't buy scrap.
Well, this guy in Greenwood, South Carolina, he went into a pawn shop and traded in his wedding ring for $20 so that he could get a prostitute.
Wow.
I think that was more a statement.
What is that? Yeah, I think you could say that. What kind of prostitute do you get for $20? I mean, well, I have no idea what the rate is on this stuff.
I don't know. Just give her the gold ring and get a little more for your buck, I guess.
the man was 33, the woman 41, and you know, the cops caught them in the midst of him trying to make use of this $20 that he got for his 10-carat wedding ring. And they also had some drugs on them. So, you know, it's now obviously the guy, it says here, has asked not to be bailed out of jail because he's afraid his wife will try to kill him when he leaves.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the smartest decision the guy has made
in his entire life.
Yeah, probably so. Oh, well, you know, imagine, though, being in a position where your partner does something like that. That's sort of the ultimate humiliation, isn't it?
Yeah.
My husband is in jail because he pawned our wedding ring to get up with a $20 hooker.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's always, to me, tricky business how the cops go about trying to bust prostitutes. I mean, listen to this story. Now, again, let me remind you folks, this hour is not for kids. It's not for the easily offended. We're talking about real news stories here, and but they are often more sordid and seedy. So just turn off the radio if you don't want to hear this kind of stuff. This is a story from Pennsylvania, and apparently a man here was an undercover detective, and he was going out to bust prostitutes. So he found a prostitute, and they agreed on a rate of $145 for a half hour. Okay, that seems maybe a little more like it. So they go to the location where this act is to be consummated, and the report here from the cop states that the woman disrobed, and then she began to perform on him. He was collecting plenty of evidence against this woman. And it's once the performance has been going on for a while, he says, "Oh no, the cops are coming." And that's when they came in and busted her. And I wonder if, you know, if he got a pat on the back and said, "Good job, Columbo. You solved this case." So her attorney, the prostitute's attorney, is saying, wait a second. How far can a police officer go under these circumstances before it doesn't really become an ethical case of busting an undercover cop? At what point does the cop become incriminated him or herself?
I see what you mean. I agree. I'm thinking that perhaps money should have exchanged hands a lot sooner, but I know that if you are, say, soliciting drugs and such, that you the cop can't get in trouble for buying the drugs because he's undercover, but still, this is a little far for prostitution.
Well, I'm thinking, if this is the way it works in Pennsylvania, I know what beat I want to be on.
Yeah.
This is the beat everybody's dying to get. Give me that beat.
Give me that one.
And you know, it's funny, I was watching a movie recently, and it was a comedy, where a guy is busted by an undercover female prostitute, and as they're arresting him, he's saying, "Don't arrest me, arrest her, you got prostitutes in your police department, man." And so, I mean, and yet really, when you, I'm sure that the law probably doesn't require that much evidence to be collected. I mean, probably if there is some type of an expression verbally that money is being exchanged for a particular service,
yeah,
that presumably would be enough.
I would think so.
But if you really want to stack the evidence, stack the case,
man. I wanted to be really, really sure.
Yeah, let's stack the stack on that one. And here's another story that seems maybe a little bit related. Let's see here. This is from New Hampshire. And they say here that a police chief there has resigned because a woman said that there were some charges against her, but the police chief
told her he would make sure the charges were dropped if she would send him some nude photographs of her. And so I don't know precisely what the woman has been charged for, but, you know, it's one of those things. I would really hate to be, especially a man, working in the sexual law enforcement business. You know, that is a touchy field.
So to speak.
Especially in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know. And again, a pattern forming? Perhaps. Well, spring is in the air. They say here in Indianapolis, the cases of indecent exposure there have just gone off the charts. That people are just running around, stripping down everywhere. I mean, it's just, there's a whole big long list here. You know, and I could get into the details, but, you know, why do it? It's just people are running around naked all over Indianapolis. Why Indianapolis? I don't know. It's funny because I have a friend who is from Australia, and he moved here to Asheville about 3 years ago. And I was talking to him just last night, and he said that his mother a while back, who still lives in Australia, contacted him and said, hey, Asheville was on the news here in Australia. And he said, really? Why is that? And she said, oh, it's because of the boob march. The boob march. What a great concept, huh? The boob march. Well, they call it a topless protest, I think, right? But boob march, fine.
Boob march works.
Boobs on patrol. Boobs marching down the street. And I always realized that when, oftentimes when you would look at pictures from Asheville's boob march, they would have photos of the boobs, but no faces. And I've wondered if maybe that was for the best, right?
Probably.
The good of all. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, the Dark 30 Hour will continue. And I have a special report for you on an inventor who has invented a brand new type of underwear. And there is a connection here to electricity. I will explain when we return. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. I am Joshua P. Warren, and you are listening to Speaking of Strange.
Sometime around midnight, or at least that's when you lose yourself for a minute or two. As you stand under the bar light, and the band plays some song about forgetting yourself for a while. And the piano's this melancholy soundtrack to her smile. In that white dress she's wearing, you haven't seen her for a while.
Thinking how things used to be. Dark night, it's a dark night. Dark night, it's a dark night. The neighborhood was changing. Stranger. anymore. I thought all that blood had been shed long ago. Darkness. It's a darkness.
Yes, the Dark 30 Hour. Here on Speaking of Strange. What does that mean? Well, that means this is the hour of the program we say for the end late at night to read some of the more controversial and outrageous stories. Not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. So tune out if you are connected to those scenarios. And also a programming note that I talked about during the first hour. I will repeat it, though. Because that I am taking a group down to Puerto Rico on an expedition, there will be a best of next Saturday on April the 20th. There will not be a new show, a best of. And so I'm going to be down there. Then I'm going to come back for a week, and we're going to do another show. A new show will be there for you on April 27th. And then I go back down to Puerto Rico in early May, and I am not certain when I will return because I'm working on a television project down there that has some long-term implications. But it's not that different than what I did last year when I went off to shoot Paranormal Paparazzi. But this time, the good news is we're going to work on getting a connection for me to be able to host the program from the Bermuda Triangle. So that will be a whole new spin on things. I'm going to be down there with all kinds of equipment and documenting strange phenomena, so hopefully you will get a front row seat to the weirdness there. But keep that in mind if around early May, you know, the show is not new for a while, maybe a few weeks, you'll know that we're working out the technical bugs to try to get all this set up. You know, I mentioned before the break, Asheville, North Carolina, from where we are broadcasting right now, is internationally famous for our boob march, as it's called in certain places, our topless parade. And it's funny because, you know, Forrest pointed out to me, pointed out during the break, that the Huffington Post recently had an article. A guy wrote about, well, it's called 10 Terribly Overrated Destinations. And believe it or not, Asheville is on this list. Now, before I get into what he says about Asheville, there are a lot of other really cool places on the list, so I do not agree with this guy. For example, the Caribbean is on the list, and he says, instead of going there, go to Mexico.
What? Yes, right.
What?
What?
Yeah, that shows you this guy's taste, all right? And he says that, you know, Chicago's on the list as an overrated place. Chicago's extremely cool. But here's what he says about Asheville. He calls it, quote, physically and emotionally fragmented. I'm not sure exactly what that even means. The physically and emotionally fragmented mountain town, full of people who seem really annoyed by everything, including your presence.
Okay, I can see that.
It's no fun anymore, he says. The traffic can be atrocious.
Go away.
The main attraction is the soulless estate of yet another Vanderbilt. Blah, blah, blah. And then he says, instead, just go to Mount Mitchell. Well,
what?
There's what? It's not even a comparison. Yeah, if you go to Mount Mitchell, you're going to a mountain and there's nothing else around. But if you want to go to a place that has stuff to do, like maybe there are bars and restaurants and live music and all, you know, it's how do you? I don't see how this guy's comparing these things.
Mount Mitchell has a snack bar. Sometimes during the year.
Yes, sometimes. So I don't know. That's pretty silly. Well, okay. Let's get back to some strange Dark 30 news. Apparently, you know, it's funny because recently a friend came into town. I won't use her name here without her permission, but I saw her and I went up to hug her and she was like, oh, wait. I'm like she didn't want me to hug her. And then she reached into her pocket and she goes, okay, I had to turn off my taser.
This is Asheville. What do you need a taser for?
I was going to hug her and I'd be electrified. You have that kind of stuff, Shelley. You carry electric weaponry around, don't you?
I carry all kinds of weaponry around.
Well, an Indian engineer has invented underwear that is supposed to be anti-rape because it gives attackers electric shocks. They say it delivers a 3,800 kilovolt shock to any would-be attacker. And it is a pressure-sensitive garment. And so, basically, if you grab this underwear the wrong way, you will know it. I don't think I would like to have electrically active stuff in my underwear, frankly.
Close to my privates?
Yeah.
No.
I could see this going wrong for some reason.
Yeah.
And, I understand the ingenuity here, but I think it might just be one of those inventions that just didn't quite work out. You know, it probably would not catch on. Would you wear electrically active underwear, Shelley Ryan?
I don't think so. And I don't even think it would be pretty underwear.
Well, who knows? It probably puts on quite a light show. You can see it in the dark. It might be beautiful. See, you got to be careful. You can't even, hug people anymore. You might get zapped. Next story. This is from Canada. They say it's a strange incident in Toronto. Here we go, sex crimes. They say four heavyset women clad in black mini dresses came walking up to a 19-year-old man in the parking lot of a nightclub, and they just sexually assaulted this man for hours, these four women. Isn't that just nuts?
It's awful.
These four women grab a 19-year-old man and just start tossing him around, and who knows what they... Heavy-set women in miniskirts attacking young men in Toronto. Wow. I'm frightened now, Forrest. I'd never thought to fear such a thing. Now I'm envisioning what would they do to hunks like us, Forrest?
Some things cannot be unseen or unheard.
They say they believe all these women are in their 30s, wearing again short black dresses, high heels, without stockings, and they weigh at least 200 pounds each.
Oh, baby.
And they're on the rampage there, apparently.
They haven't been caught?
You know what? I was thinking maybe I wouldn't want to wear electric underwear, but I'm reconsidering that now. Maybe I'm the guy who needs the electric underwear. On the other hand, I don't go to Toronto that often. Usually Canadians are rather peaceful. Unless you go up there and you go into a bar late at night and somehow politics comes up, then you become the unofficial ambassador. I remember being in a bar in Toronto late at night, and a guy says, "Where are you from?" And I said, "From North Carolina." And he says, "Why are you guys still in Iraq?" And it's like, oh, here we go! Please, no! I just want to have a Caesar. Okay. Here's one from closer to home. This is from Johnson City, Tennessee, and they say a vice mayor is in trouble there because that he was driving 90 miles per hour with his genitals out the window.
How do you drive 90 miles an hour with your genitals out the window?
Maybe he's going to fuzzy holes.
You're right, Forrest. You solved the mystery. He just couldn't wait. And the story starts out with objects in mirror are larger than they appear. Okay, that's a good time to pause. When we come back, well, what can I say? It's the dark 30 hour. Real news stories from around the world that you may not hear so often in the mainstream news. And, well, pretty soon we'll go to Austin, Texas, and I'll tell you about something nasty that got smeared on the wall of the Department of Public Safety. I am Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual, and it is called Speaking of Strange.
It's good to see you, baby. It's been a long, long while. We're both a whole lot older and seen a lot of miles. But things are really different now since the good old days. And you've been in some trouble since we went our separate ways. We'll have to say hello maybe some other time instead, 'cause you're wanted by the police and my wife thinks you're dead. Somebody spread the rumor that you had lost your life. Yeah, that's the way I heard it when I told my wife. Now here you showing up again and talk is getting around. And I can see that one of us will have to leave this town. If you think that I want trouble, then you're crazy in your head. 'Cause you're wanted by the police and my wife thinks you're dead. And disappeared. Nobody knew what happened. Where you been for all these years? Now trouble's what you're looking like, 'cause trouble's where you've been. But I can see the kind of trouble you could get me in. You better pay attention to every word I said, 'cause you're wanted by the police and my wife thinks you're dead.
It is the Dark 30 Hour on Speaking of Strange. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. Always got to give you that warning, my friends. This is the hour of the show when we talk about more of the outrageous and controversial material, okay? It's done here late at night, so it's not for the kids, not for the easily offended. A lot of these stories are sordid and seedy, but, it's real news. We're not making it up. And before we get back to the story we were addressing, let me throw out a little plug there. The storm season is upon us. Tornadoes are going to be ripping through. Flooding's going to happen. And you know how much it sucks when your power goes out. So you don't have to suffer, though. Go to sunshinesimple.com and look at the generators there. My team and I create. They are the world's most powerful solar generators for the lowest price. We guarantee that. And it's something that will give you peace of mind that you can operate off the grid, and you really should use it every single day to at least lower your power bill. You might even be able to totally replace your electrical needs with it, depending on what they are. So watch the video there at sunshinesimple.com. So here's a story again I was talking about from Johnson City, Tennessee. Shelley just wouldn't let me move on.
I wanted details.
You insisted that we flesh this one out.
I was looking out for everybody.
Yeah, Johnson City, Tennessee, former vice mayor allegedly drove 90 miles per hour, it says, with his genitals out the window. Guy here is 30 years old, and as he is driving down the road, and I don't know how exactly one would, well, certainly safely accomplish this.
Right.
But they say that he, he was licking his lips and he pulled his gavel out, we'll say.
Uh-huh.
And was presenting it. out the window, and he was actually identified in a lineup by three women, all in separate cars, who saw this. There were dozens of calls, they said, that had been coming in about this guy's behavior recently, in general. But the guy has been charged here with obviously indecent exposure and all that, but also reckless driving.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe he was driving perfectly well. He may have had his hands on the wheel. This kind of reminds me of the story about the guy sawing his arms off. Sometimes we just can't figure out how people physically achieve these things that they are accused of doing. So, but yeah, Johnson City, right down the road, the home of fuzzy holes. Austin, Texas. They say a man is in trouble because he broke into and vandalized the Department of Public Safety's driver's license office by smearing feces all over the walls. Yeah. Apparently it was his own. But you know what? I know somewhere out there somebody's applauding right now to hear this story, because people just don't like the DMV. I tell people that, I went to the dentist a few years ago and had a bad day, you know. I hadn't had my teeth cleaned in a while, and I came out of there with my mouth all sore. And then I went to the DMV. And then I tell people I went and hired a hooker to put on stilettos and jump up and down on my groin just to finish it off properly. Just the icing on the cake, right? Let's just have a day of torture, basically. Actually, fortunately, it was the smoothest experience I'd ever had at the DMV.
I usually have a pretty good experience.
Really?
At the DMV and the tag office. Yeah.
Always have good experiences.
I think you're adding
a little extra something.
A little Shelly Mojo. I went to the tag office last week, I think it was, in and out in 5 minutes. Pleasant experience.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I think you have
a biased perspective on life, I think. Shelly has those orange-colored glasses.
Yes.
Here's a story from Vero Beach, Florida. Vero Beach woman is accused here. You know what? I tell you what. Let me just read the headline, okay? Headline is, buttocks-bearing woman jailed after papaya attack in Vero Beach. Says the woman is accused of throwing papayas at neighbors and dropping her pants to, quote, expose something that none of us wanted to see, end quote. She was thrown in jail. 49-year-old woman. They believe she may have been intoxicated.
Maybe.
She, on the other hand, said it was very natural. She was just telling these people to kiss her butt.
As she's hurling papayas.
As she's throwing papayas. It said that apparently this happened in a trailer park. Okay. Fair enough. Next story. Says here. Where is this from? I don't know exactly. San Dimas,
California?
Nope. Florida. So there's a San Dimas, Florida. Says here, I just read the headlines for these stories. So much is put into the headline. Says here, headline, man wildly punches another man trying to impress woman on first date. A man trying to impress his date crashed a car into the back of another vehicle and then began trying to punch the driver. However, it unraveled because the driver was able to get out the other guy and overpower this guy. So, you know, they get the guy and they ask him, what the heck is wrong with you? Why did you do this? And he said that he was with his lady on a first date and wanted to impress her by beating the crap out of this other guy. What do you think, Shelley? Would that do it for you?
No, I don't think so.
Forrest, would you jump out and attack a strange man to impress Kelly?
No.
She wouldn't be impressed by it.
She's on her own then, huh? Well, here's a story from Orange County, Florida. They say a man was in a car crash there, 34 years old, and he jumped out of the car and stripped down naked and started dancing in the street. And so they say that the highway patrol quickly arrived, and when they got near this guy's car, they started feeling ill, a little bit nauseated. They started getting a bit of a headache. Turns out, they say, the man had been smoking a combination of marijuana and formaldehyde. Yeah.
Oh.
That, you know, apparently, I don't know, they say, obviously, you know, formaldehyde, you can get it in biology classes and stuff. This guy, it looks like he'd been soaking his marijuana in formaldehyde and smoking it. Wow. That sounds like one of those zombie mixtures, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You get on that stuff, you might just flip out and start eating somebody. The crazy things that people do to get high. You know, if you want to get that close to death, just kill yourself. Right? Because formaldehyde is deadly. You can die, I'm sure, from ingesting something like that or smoking it or whatever. You put that into your body. Here's a story from Canada. Drunk naked man urinates in police department. This seems to be happening more and more. It's almost understandable, though, isn't it? If you're drunk and you're naked, you may as well just pee on the floor. Says here, yeah, he 26 years old, and you know, the funny thing is, they actually found him in the process of doing the urination, so it wasn't like he got arrested and then did it in the booking section. So, he was, he spent the night behind bars, and they called a biohazard cleaning company to come in and make sure the area is safe, or was safe, for the general public.
What is so hard about finding a bathroom if you're a man? Really?
Maybe at least get a cup, you know? You don't have to pee on the steps. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have the three that I saved for the end of tonight's show. One is from Philadelphia, one is from New York, and the very last one is from Russia. And I read this one from Russia, and I thought, could this be true? Well, maybe it is. It appears to be. Never seen a story like this one. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the Dark 30 Hour. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Do 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 do. Do 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 do. Who is a girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel in the picture on the billboard in the field at a big old highway? Rolling down the highway in my Jimmy hauling parade from Chicago to St. Louis, Lord, I see her every day. A double clutching weasel like me can hardly ever get a girl to look at him that away. Like the girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel in the picture on the billboard in the field near the big old highway. Well, what a girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel in the picture on the billboard in the field near the big old highway. I bet it wouldn't take her for
woman pull a dirty trick and take her towel away. I slow my game down to 20, that's how many wrecks I see there every day. Caused by the girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel in the picture on the billboard in the field near the big old highway. Oh, I love the girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel in the picture on the billboard in the field near the big old highway. I guess I'm getting bolder, cause I'd rather kiss and hold her than just keep a looking at her every day. At 4:45, coffee drinking, eating signs, Jimmy shimmied while I woke up the artist that painted the display. Of the girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel in the picture on the billboard in the field near the big old highway.
We are in the final minutes of tonight's Speaking of Strange, the Dark 30 Hour. And let me remind you that next week we will have a best of for you. And then I believe it's April 25th when I am scheduled to appear on the first hour of Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. And then we will have another brand new Speaking of Strange for you on April the 27th. But in the meantime, I'm giving my Speaking of Strange audience a special opportunity to go ahead and go look at a picture of a ghost that's just been discovered at joshuapwarren.com. There is no period after the P, joshuapwarren.com, because once I go full-blown with this thing on Coast to Coast AM, the website's just going to get hammered. And, you know, it doesn't matter how great your setup is. If you get millions of people hitting your website all at once, sometimes it's hard to keep these images up. Okay, last three Dark 30 stories. And remember, the Dark 30 Hour is the hour of the show when we talk about things that are more outrageous and controversial. Not for the kids, not for the easily offended. So tune out if you think you can't handle this, or somebody's around who shouldn't hear some of the more crazy, outrageous news that is often more sordid and seedy. Tune back in and, you know, the next few minutes, and I'll say 5 minutes, something like that, and maybe you'll have something a little more appropriate on for that. Okay, first of the last three comes to us from Philadelphia. A 65-year-old man was a patient at a hospital in Philadelphia, and he claims that at 3:30 in the morning, a 20-year-old female nurse entered his room and said she wanted to give him a bath. Now, this sounds like the beginning of a risque movie of some sort, don't you think, Forrest?
I think I've seen that movie.
Yes. Turns out, he says this 20-year-old nurse raped him. Okay? So a 65-year-old man says he was sexually assaulted by a 20-year-old nurse in the middle of the night at the hospital.
Poor guy.
We had the story earlier about the guy in Toronto who was attacked sexually by these four women wearing miniskirts and high heels. What is going on? What's getting into women? I mean, that was Toronto, but now it's contagious here in Philadelphia. But, you know, Forrest, if we have to have an outbreak of, you know, face-eating zombies or women, you know, attacking men, you know, we have to weigh those out carefully.
Exactly.
Next story comes to us from New York, New York, the city that never sleeps. They say that in a Bronx psychiatric ward, a patient there was flipping out. They decided to give him a shot in his behind. So they bent him over, pulled his pants down, and baggies began falling out of his behind. 17 baggies of cocaine, all nestled. Nestled, they say. Maybe nested would be a more appropriate term. And who knows where those came from? But, you know, again, we've read a lot of stories about people shoving extraordinary amounts of things in various orifices. A woman, you know, was caught smuggling a lot of stuff in herself recently in Florida. And then there was a Kentucky woman who had a lot of syringes in herself and, yeah, things that you would not want to be carrying in that spot. Now, here's the last story. This is from Russia. And I read this and I thought, seriously? Oh, my gosh. Could this be real? They say a 28-year-old man there got into a fight with a 48-year-old man over a woman.
Okay.
And at one point, the 48-year-old man, I guess they were drinking, and they say that he went to sleep, basically. And the 28-year-old decided to make good on the oft-heard threat of shoving his foot up the other man's behind. And they say that he held the guy down and shoved his foot in the dude and killed him. How would you like to die that way? Later they said, why did you do this exactly? And he said, it really wasn't about the woman. It was the alcohol. I would have never done that if I was sober. Well, some people definitely should not drink, and that's going to do it for this edition of the program. I thank Brian Hall, Forrest Connor, John Anderson, Mobius, and Kuka. This is Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual. Till next time, we will be at speakingofstrange.com. Sign up for the free e-newsletter and Twitter, and tune in next week for a best of You Are Commanded.
I like to do the